How's it going, fellow aviation enthusiasts? Welcome back to the Tailwind and Sunshine Podcast. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. Today, we're going to listen to part two of my conversation with my friend Micah, who is a lead ramp agent at Alaska Airlines based in Salt Lake City. We continue the conversation with some of Micah's icks. What is an ick, you may ask? Well, that's something that pilots do that grinds his gears, something that he wishes that pilots did less or did not, you know, never did, but we do it anyways. I also share some of mine. But we kind of jump into some of the rumors and some news, more specifically the Spirit, the potential Spirit furloughs are going to happen in the fall, and some United news. We talk about the Airbus and the 7-3, and Micah says that my age shows because I like the 7-3 and not the A320. I would discuss that in a little bit more detail as to why that is, but we both agree the A350 is a really good looking plane, more so than the Dreamliner. How say you? What do you think? We also talk about his dream of flying for the airlines. I also answer a question my friend Victor submitted a few weeks ago regarding age and pursuing his dreams. This has been a common theme throughout the last few episodes, if you have noticed, is that I give my advice and I encourage you to pursue your dreams, but there are certain things that age kind of, you age out of certain things. And so you just have to kind of keep that in mind, so that if you don't make it to a certain destination that you want to go, not to be discouraged, it's just, you're still flying airplanes. You're still a pilot, but I encourage him to continue moving forward with his plans to going into an aviation program. And we finish up by sharing why does Micah hold a special place in my heart. So he gave me a really nice gift, and that I still hold. I cherish that gift, and I want to share that with you guys today. Anyways, that's it for now. Let's get on with the show. From the Baltimore studios in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this is the Tailwinds and Sunshine Podcast.
You know, I don't know if that's your intent, and just kind of start the conversation from there, you know, because I've found out that sometimes when you communicate that, the person was not even aware they were doing that, and they'll back off a little bit.
Possible pilot deviation, I have a number for you. Advisor, do you copy?
Dude, this 777 has been really fun to fly. It's honestly just a bigger Embraer 175.
But the fact that they were sitting on that runway knowing there was a heavy coming their way, unacceptable.
I'm from the central part, so I'm from a town. We have more cows than people where I come from. Very country.
The aches I have, I can go on. Number one, when the jet bridge is pulled back and we're ready to push and you guys don't have your headsets on.
Plan has to be perfect because you can't turn left. You can't turn right. The only way out of that, if the pilot gets into a bad spot or if there's something that's like happened at the airport that shuts down a runway, the only way out is up.
What are some of your icks that pilots do that you're like, they didn't do that?
The icks I have, I can go on. But number one, when the jet bridge is pulled back and we're ready to push and you guys don't have your headsets on and we're trying to get the brakes, especially when we're trying to get the brakes released on time and we're sitting there and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And we go out to the side, we knock on the side of the plane and we're like, put your headset on.
Here's my biggest stick with rampers. The one that come off like right out of that top of my head is those stupid wireless headsets that you guys use. I don't know if you guys use them.
We don't.
But they are the most horrible. They're horrible. I can't hear anything. They're really scratchy. And, you know, I'm like, I can't, you know, and I have to verify with them. And sometimes I just start using, you know, hand signals because I can't hear them. So if you can avoid using them, please don't use them. Most of the time my experience with them is like you can't hear them at all. So there's like the connect ones, you know, the straight just wired ones work the best.
Right.
Let me see. Any other icks that I have with rampers? Not really. I mean, they're just doing their job. Like I really don't have much of a complaint about. Let me see. I'm trying to think of anything. That's not really much. I mean, do you have anything else with the pilots? Well, I think of mine.
Yeah, when I'm marshaling and I go to give them the chalk signal that the chalks are in, and they don't look at me, and I'm sitting there for like 10 seconds telling them the chalks are in, and I give up. After 5 seconds at this point, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Okay, so you're gonna love me because as soon as I set the brakes and shut down the engines, I look outside. That's the first place I look.
Thank you.
You know, so I look and I was like, okay, because here's the thing,
at least at SkyWest, we're not allowed to run the shutdown checklist until we've had the CHOXIN signal.
Okay.
We're not supposed to run it. So we're kind of waiting on you guys to give us that signal. And so I guess that's a nick for me, as far as rampers. The rampers that forget about the CHOXIN signal and then just go and start, you know, working. So we set the brakes, chalk in, and then they forget and they just kind of walk on their own. And so then I start honking at them. So the Embraer has a horn, and we press that horn, and it sounds like dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. That's what it sounds like.
So our pushback, we have a tow barless pushback. We have a winch type of pushback. So when I say we're ready for brake release and capture, that means I'm ready for the brake release. I don't want the push clearance yet, though, because I know that the ramp controllers, if it takes a while for them to get pushing out of the gate, they're going to probably cancel that push clearance because they got people going through the alley.
Right.
And so when I call up, I'm like, hey, we're ready for brake release and capture. And they're still like, all right, brakes release, clear to push, tail release out of 45. I'm like, oh, hold on, buddy. Hold on. It's going to take at least 30 seconds for us to get up and run in here. So,
yeah.
Especially since because our wing walker on the captain side is the one capturing the airplane. So they got to still walk out, take the cone out, and then go out and wing walk too. So it just takes time.
For that, I usually ask, you know, hey, you guys ready for brakes? You know, so I say brakes off, signals off, do you have a green light? And you guys are good to capture if you guys are using electrocart, right?
Yeah.
Or a bucket. And then we call for push. So I never call for push, and then because I know that it might take a little bit longer and we may have to cancel the push. I haven't gotten a situation like that, but we've definitely had to just kind of, that's my normal order of things that I do is drop the brakes so we can get an on-time departure, get captured, get all that stuff done, then call for push and then call you guys and tell you what you've done. Now, we have a procedure at SkyWest, and I don't know if this is standard with rampers as well, or what you're expecting to see. Once we get clear to push, right? So they say, hey, set brakes. Okay, set the brakes. And we say, clear to disconnect. Have a nice day. Then you go out and you wait for the salute. You salute us. You clear the area. We are supposed to, we are told to flash the light at you guys. Is it something that you're like, why did they do that? Or is it like, are you guys expecting a flash?
With us specifically, we're expecting a salute from the captain. With Horizon, though, we expect a flash of the light. Not necessarily SkyWest or Mainline Alaska, but Horizon specifically, we get a flash of the light.
Interesting. Because, yeah, in our training, we're supposed to give a flash of the nose light.
I like the flash of the nose light, honestly. It's fun. But,
okay. All right. Yeah, okay. I got you. Okay. I'm going to start doing that. But at nighttime, that can be kind of like, oh, my God, especially if you have those LED lights, yeah. Even a small flash, right? Because the planes that have the halogen lights, those kind of take like a split second to warm up and kind of give the lights. It's kind of like a glow. Mm-hmm. But if you have LEDs, man, you put them on, bam, yeah. It just hits you right in the face with that blinding light, right?
Either wait till we're, you know, off to the side, or if we would just push straight back, maybe you could use your like turn off lights or something.
You know what? I've never done that before. I'm going to start doing that, especially at night. I'm just going to do the side light because it seems really, inconvenient and annoying to be doing the nose light when the guy pushing the plane is right there. So I'm gonna start doing that.
Okay. And I mean, on our mainline flights, sometimes they'll flash the lights too, but the newer models of our 737s have the taxi lights mounted up next to the landing lights, so we're either expecting a flash from the nose or the wing. So it really, you know, we're looking for both either way.
Let's talk about a little bit about the news, what's been going on recently on the news. The big one, Spirit is about to furlough pilots.
Oh.
So that's really unfortunate. Spirit has been dealing with some financial issues because of the merger, the failed merger with JetBlue. And so a lot of pilots, I think it's 260 pilots, that's what I read, are going to get furloughed. I think it's in the fall of this year. And there's going to be maybe another 160 or close to 200 pilots are going to be downgraded to the FO position that were captains. So this is what the aviation industry does, you guys. You're going to have ups and downs, and sometimes you're going to have things like Spirit furlough pilots to stay afloat. So for my friends at Spirit that are going to get possibly furloughed, best of luck. I hope that you can land on your feet. Also, if you were a prior SkyWest employee, please reach out. reach out to me. If you're a prior SkyWest employee, we have what's called a soft landings program at SkyWest, which we will take you back. We're happy to have you at SkyWest. That's another good reason to work for SkyWest. If you left in good terms, we are happy to have you back, and we can get you in contact with a recruiter so you can come back and or come to SkyWest and fly the mighty Embraer 175. Also, United asked its pilots to take some voluntary unpaid leave as well because of the whole MAX issues. And I think they're going to extend it to the summer, but I don't know what's going on there. People have asked if they're going to start furloughing. I highly doubt it. United is in a bad financial position to actually furlough pilots. I think it's going to be temporary. So stand by. And I heard that United is also still hiring, but then United's policy is hire till you furlough. So take that for what it's worth. Anything you heard? Any scuttlebutt? Any rumors or anything you've heard on your end?
No, not recently. Well, actually, I've heard about, I don't know if you've heard, but I've heard that Southwest is trying to buy out some airline, I think because of their MAX problems. I've heard rumors about maybe Sun Country or even Spirit. I don't know, honestly. Yeah. But that would be cool to see some Airbuses in Southwest's fleet. It'd be kind of cursed, honestly, but an Airbus in Southwest fleet.
Right. It'd be looking funny. I cannot see a Southwest that has Airbus, but I mean, they almost bought a few years back, or maybe a couple years back, they were actually thinking about the A220 instead of the 700.
I remember that.
So they were considering going and purchasing the A220 or the former C series from Bombardier. So they were thinking about it, but obviously Boeing snatched up that contract, says, nope, we're going to deliver your 700s, but now that's not happening. Yeah, there's rumors. I've heard about that rumor about Southwest, you know, having talks with the union and stuff about merging seniority lists with other airlines and stuff like that. So they're prepping. They have their options. I don't think it's a solid thing, but it'd be really surprising if they do actually end up buying another airline. And also, it's funny because a friend of mine yesterday, when our training department, is like, you know, SkyWest should buy Spirit. You know, we should just go buy Spirit and do that and probably lease out the airplanes to other companies, because SkyWest has been known for purchasing aircraft. We lease out aircraft to other airlines as well. We lease out engines. We have the charter company, SkyWest Charter, as well. So we're pretty well diversified. So I would not be surprised if SkyWest decides to buy Spirit. They'd be like, yep, wow, we're purchasing it and we're going to dismantle it or something and do other stuff with it, you know, that not necessarily in direct competition with their partners, because otherwise we can't bite the hand that feeds us, you know. Mm-hmm. So we would have to do something, but I highly doubt it, but it was a rumor. There's also rumors that said that SkyWest was going to start flying the 190s, the ERJ-190s, like JetBlue does. But again, it's all rumors, but they're always fun to talk about. So I had quite a few emails and messages on Instagram about the whole age thing. So the last episode I talked about how, you know, the older you get, the window of opportunity for certain things or certain career options kind of closes down, right? And I got some grief from some people because they're saying that, you know, I was discouraging older pilots from pursuing their dreams. And honestly, the truth sometimes hurts. You know, you got to hear that. You got to say, hey, I'm not trying to discourage people from pursuing their dreams, but I want to let people know that your age in this industry does matter because of seniority, right? So if you come in as a 55-year-old pilot, coming in as a second career, or like, you know, your career 2.0, and your dream was to reach the pinnacle of your career as a heavy captain, right? So a wide body captain may not be possible, right? Because these wide body captains have probably been at the company for 20 plus years, and now they're at the end of their career flying as a captain of a dreamliner. So if your dream is like, oh, this is what I want to do, and I'm only going to be happy if I fly this airplane, if I fly this particular position at the airline, you're going to be in for a rude awakening, right? So kind of tamper your dreams and understand that there's certain aspect or there's certain things you're not going to be able to reach because of your age. Now, if your dream and your passion was to become a pilot, and now this is your second career, understand that, you know, if your dream is so big that you don't care what sacrifices you're going to have to do, go for it. You know, if your dream is to be a pilot, do it. It's worth it. is worth the sacrifice. It's worth the perseverance that you're going to have to take. It is absolutely worth it, and do it, because if you don't, you're going to regret it. And I'm going to read this question that my friend Victor actually said. He sent it to me this morning, actually. He said, episode 23 also resonated with me about seeing life through rose-colored lenses, so I thought perhaps I'd take a risk and lean in. I've recently been accepted into a Bachelor of Science in Aviation program starting this fall, and I'm facing a bit of a crossroads. With no logged flying hours and the medical examination ahead, I'm quite nervous. My concerns are twofold. I wonder if pursuing this at my stage in life is being delusional, given that I'm older, and I'm apprehensive about how being openly gay might impact my experience at the school. I realize I've aged out of most things. Your perspective would be incredibly valuable to me. Do you think these concerns are significant enough to reconsider the acceptance? Again, I completely understand if you're too busy to respond. Well, I actually love this question. Like I said, if your dream is super strong, to where you don't care what happens, do it. Because you're going to regret it if you don't do it, right? If you're going to look back and say, I wish I would have done that. But Victor, I definitely think you should do it. But understand that where you maybe intended to be might not happen. So just make sure you readjust your expectations. But if you want to be a pilot, you want to fly airplanes for a living, definitely go for it. What do you think? What do you think, Micah?
No, man.
Am I really old? Am I an old fart at 40?
I mean, no, I'm kidding. What really sucks, especially in the aviation industry, I can't really speak about the pilot side, but I guess we all really have the common enemy of we're all fighting time. And if you don't get it done quick enough, you feel like you've lost all of it, and now it's all down the drain, and you've wasted all this money and resources and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, what did I even do this for? But I mean, like you said, you got to learn the hard truth, really. I mean, for ramp agents, at least on our side, as long as you can throw bags at a standard rate and get everything done, I mean, get hired at whatever age you want. I guess if you're 80 and you can throw 10 bags a minute, please come join my team, because I need more people like that. I mean, I got people that are 25 and can't do that. So,
oh damn, yeah. What's a standard rate? You mentioned standard. Now I got to know the standard.
Well,
do you guys actually have a standard?
Not like a written standard, but for us at Alaska, we have 20 minutes from the time the plane chocks to get the bags to the carousel. And for us, usually for our offload, that's about 15 to 20 bags a minute.
Okay.
Because it takes us around 2 to 3 minutes to get all the equipment set up and get the first bag coming off on the belt. And first bag runner needs to be going out by around 12 minutes after the plane chocks. And it takes about 3 minutes to get to the carousel from our gate. And then another 5 minutes to get all the bags on there. And we usually try to send the first runner to with the majority of the bags, so at least over 50% of the bags. So usually we'll try and aim for that, but what really sucks, especially in the winter, is if the majority of the bags were in one bin and we decided that was going to be the first runner to send out. It really sucks when the majority of the bags in that bin are skis, because skis don't count towards regular bags. Ooh. to make that time to carousel time. So, you know, it just kind of catches us by surprise, which is why I want to try and get a new commodity for bags specifically as oversized or skis or something like that.
I was driving to Denver a couple days ago and I saw a truck, like an F-150 or something, and it was just the back of it. It was like this huge, I was getting close. I was like, I was far away from the truck. I was like, what the heck is that? But the entire back of that truck was just skis. It was just this huge thing of skis. I'm like, man, that's going to suck. You know, whoever's going, it has some luggage. So I knew they were going to like Hayden or Gunnison or something, or Aspen probably, to go do some skiing. But I'm like, man, that's going to suck for whoever has to load those things. You know, it's When I was a ramper, I didn't have to deal much with skis because it was in John Wayne. But yeah, I remember we had to be really quick, you know, because we had a really quick turnaround time. And yeah, we just had to swing those bags, you know, as much as possible and be really quick about it. It was a really physically demanding job. I remember that. It was really physically demanding, especially for the guy in the pit. Ooh, man. That's going to be, you know, and on the smaller, the 7.3, I never worked heavies. I never worked wide bodies, but I did the 7.3, the Airbus. Airbus was my favorite because it was bigger. You can kind of stand a little bit more, but I used to work, Aloha had the, let me see who else, Aloha, Frontier, who did I say I were? Alaska. So Alaska and Aloha had the OG 7.37. So it was, they weren't the NGs yet, and they were lower to the ground. And you can just jump into the pit. But now now the NG ones, you have to have the belt loader to get in there without injuring yourself. But it was you're hunched over in there and you're going to have to get the bags. And it's a tough job.
Did you work on the 200s?
I loved it. And I picked that job because it got me.
Sorry.
Yes. No, not the 200s. I think the 200s had the skinny engines, or maybe those were the 100s. But I think they might have been the 300s.
Oh, the classics.
The one I used to work with those planes. Yeah, the classics. There you go. So I used to work the classics, which were sitting lower to the ground, and you could actually jump in the pit. So it made it easier to start getting to work. But for me, that job, the decision was because I wanted to get closer to aviation. And that allowed me to do that. So it was a really fun job in retrospect. But when I was, oh man, it was tough. Yeah, it was really physically demanding. Really physically demanding.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, but as far as like Micah, he's at the ripe age of 19 where he's like, man, he's got all his life ahead, you know, and you kind of have to, and there's this urgency to get a seniority number to get to your final destination as quickly as possible. And that's fine. I think that's if you can swing it, go for it. And obviously the older you get, the more you feel rushed to get to a certain destination. But I've always said this, that you need to enjoy the journey, because if you feel like you're not going to be happy until you reach your final destination, you're going to have a bad time, right? You got to enjoy it and you got to embrace wherever it is that you end up. You know, I've had, because a lot of this stuff, we don't have control, right? The aviation industry is ups and downs, and sometimes we get caught in a, you know, caught in a headwind, and sometimes we have a tailwind, right? I've flown with captains at SkyWest that their dream was to go fly for United or Delta, but because they were caught in between 9/11, COVID, and any stuff that was out of their control, now it doesn't make sense for them to lose all that seniority and that pay to go somewhere else just because they wanted to fly a heavy airplane, right? So it some of these people have got caught in that situation where, is it worth me leaving 15 years of seniority at SkyWest to go take a 50% pay cut somewhere else and start at the bottom? I don't know. That's your decision to make. Is it worth it to you? I don't know. But some of these captains that have, you know, they stay there and they're happy about it. You know, some of them were a little bit salty about it, but it is what it is, man. You got to have to, you know, find those silver linings in life and just enjoy it and just make the best of it. But I don't want to ever discourage anybody from pursuing their dreams and doing it. But if you're doing this because you think it's going to be fun and you're just on a whim, it's not going to turn out pretty for you. More than likely not. So, yeah. So, Micah, what's your goal? Like, where do you want to go fly? Like, what's your dream?
My dream?
Talk to me about that.
Like, my dream your airline dream. Or my... Because, I mean...
Yeah, you, everything. You know, what's your dream? What do you want
to
be doing?
Trying to go to the airlines. That's goal number one. honestly, I think the Airbus would be pretty cool. I would want to fly the Airbus. I mean, even on the ramp, I got trained on working the Airbus. I never actually got to work one though, and that's kind of left me on a cliffhanger, because it's so cool how the bins are like hydraulics. You just open the flap and then you push the lever. And now I like have dreams like twice a week about opening Airbus bins, like opening and closing Airbus bins. And they're like so high off the ground. The bins are real nice and big, and I don't know. It's kind of just left me hanging, you know, because Alaska, I've retired all the Airbuses back in September and we never got one.
Yeah.
When I worked here. So
I saw them all sitting in Huntsville, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a company that's kind of even American, I think, has taken some of their Airbus planes.
American.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, speaking of which, I think there was a rumor saying that if Spirit goes under, that United should take all their Airbuses.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of make up for the fact they're not getting the MAX 10s.
Yeah.
I would love to fly like the A350. That'd be so cool.
Oh yeah,
we get. I think the A350 is a better looking plane than the Airbus. Than the I think the A350 is a better looking plane than the Dreamliner.
I like have to agree
the
with
Dreamliner.
You.
The nose. I'm like.
Yeah, the nose is kind of wonky.
Like the I think. Now here's the thing: Boeing made a better looking narrow body airplane than Airbus.
Ooh.
Like the 737 just looks super hot.
I don't know about that.
The A320 looks a little dumpy.
No.
I mean, just from the outside, the flight deck is a whole different story, but I think the 73 is just iconic, you know, and I like the look of it. And for, I'll give you an example. I think the livery, the United livery on a 73 looks better than their livery on the A320. That's just my, that's my opinion.
I think you're showing your age.
yes I am. I'm an old fart now. No, I refuse to believe that. I still feel 20 in my heart, but my knees don't agree with me anymore. But no, but I think it's personal preference, but I think like you and I, the A350 is just a really nice plane. When I see it in Denver, Lufthansa brings their A350, I was like, man, that's a really nice plane. But like I said in the episode before, I'm like, man, I would love to fly wide body and just to experience that. But we'll see what happens. I'm trying to get a new computer going. I don't know where to set it up, though, because I have no room. Well, I have room in places, but not the ideal place I want. And I'm trying to get back into simming because I really, really enjoy that. So I want to be able to get back into simming and VATSIM or what's the other one they use? Pilot Edge.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you need to look
at paid service.
Wait, how do I flip my camera around? Just look at this, though. I just turned around.
Oh!
Yeah!
That is a sweet setup,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. I'd be sitting here for like 9 hours a day and just flying. Oh, yeah. You got the
phone. Dude, that's what I used to do.
Oh, yeah.
I would literally sit there for an entire day just like doing flights, you know, pretend flights. And for me, actually, I always like to say that my simming experience helped me in training, especially dealing with the MCDU in the plane, the flight management system. It helped a lot. So I was a really avid. I mean, I had so many add-ons. I had the 777, the 75. I had all of them. TOLUS A320. I had everything. And I stopped because I got super busy. Since I got to SkyWest, it's just been like nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop training, nonstop flying, nonstop working. And I'm not complaining about it because I love it, but it's just, I wish I had a little bit more time for the simming. And I think I'm going to be able to have a little bit more time here in the future, which is why also doing more of the podcast as well, because I have more time. Before I forget, I was going to mention this. So the why does Micah have a special place in my heart? It's because he is the only spotter that was able to catch me. We coordinated this. I remember that because I posted a story and you were in Salt Lake. I flew into Salt Lake and he caught a picture of me coming into Salt Lake. I am going to pin that in my profile in Instagram. So I'll have that. You can check it out at ClimbVX, CLIMB as in Bravo, V as in Victor, X-ray. You can check it out there. And the pictures that he took is still part of my iPad. It's still my background in my iPad. So I still have it there. So I haven't had anyone capture me flying, or maybe they have, but they don't know me. So they don't, you know, they don't reach out to me. But I don't know how I can coordinate that a little bit more, because I've seen some of my friends that they get videos of them, they get pictures, and I feel like I'm a little jealous. I'm like, man, I wish I had more pictures of me flying. So I wish I can get that. Anyway, Micah is also on Instagram. You can check out his page. That link is in the show notes. You can check it out. And so all this stuff that we talked about, any links will be in the show notes. I really appreciate the questions you guys are putting, and you're sending me really good questions. I'm going today. I'm going to go out to the post office and put those postcards and also trading cards that I have. I have a stack of those E175 Delta trading cards that are very popular apparently in social media. I literally had this kid come up to me in San Francisco. I was talking with my coworker, and this kid just came up to me. He's like, "Do you have trading cards?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, here they are." You know, I was like, "Here's one." I gave out like 5 in one day.
Wow.
So they're pretty popular. So I have a stack of those and I'll send those out. Yeah. And if you want that, just make sure you email me, or there's a form in the show notes so you can submit your questions. You can reach out to me on Instagram, email. You can see, and I'll go ahead and if you submit a question or a story, I'll go ahead and send you out a postcard or a trading card, whichever you like. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for being part of the show. I really do appreciate it. Micah, thanks once again for being here.
Oh, thank you.
We'll catch up later.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Hey, fellow aviation enthusiasts, before I let you go, I'd like to ask you for a huge favor. If you could please go to the platform where you're listening this podcast in and leave a review, some feedback, and some comments. I really do appreciate that. I want to make the Tailwinds and Sunshine podcast your podcast. I also want to give a huge thanks to my friends and coworkers that have shared the podcast with their friends and family. That means the world to me. I really appreciate your support and your subscriptions. If you want to reach out to me, you can email me at Manny the CFI at gmail.com, or you can message me directly on Instagram at climbvx. That's C-L-I-M-B as in Bravo, B as in Victor, X-ray. You can reach me there with your suggestions or any feedback. Once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the support, and until next episode, I wish you tailwinds and sunshine. See ya. The statements made on the show are my own opinion and do not necessarily reflect those of my employer.